looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Hello there, everyone. Welcome to Light on Living. I'm Light Coach Lisa, holistic nutritionist and life coach, helping you to lighten the load of life's challenges. I actually was going to say get through the tough stuff. That's so funny. And maybe that's what's going on in my mind right now. And I'd like to share with everybody that I'm having just the most exciting and renewed and interesting time of my life, because I have just very recently, 2018, decided to reopen my practice as a nutritionist. And I've always practiced as one just for myself or friends and family, but really diving in and sitting down with clients. I don't like to use the word patients. I feel that everybody's not sick. So sitting down with my clients and just listening to their life. I'm not asking just about food specifically, because as we know, dating your diet is all about falling in love with food. It's about the relationship with food. So when I sit down and listen to anybody, I really want to know how they feel about their life, like what's going on in their lives. And what's been so interesting is I've had to really practice my own strength of being an observer. And now, you know, we hear about being the observer and not being attached to things in our own life. But when we get to do this with other people, wow, like that's a big wow. And so I kind of miss it. And that's what's been so exciting to me. It's allowing me a little bit more control through the detaching of things. And I know that kind of sounds weird, because if we think of somebody who micromanages everything and who really wants to control and do it this way and that way, that's actually because they are attached. And that comes from judgment and just that need to, I mean, it can come from fear. It certainly can cause fear, because really what we're worried about is something in our lives that are bringing us joy and happiness. We fear we could lose it. And I'm just purely embracing sitting down with just people after people, person after person, and I love that I get to listen to what's going on in their lives, and I don't have to A, fix it, which is always great. B, first of all, I don't have the right to judge it. I don't even want to judge it, but I want to give them a safe space so that perhaps if they're struggling or going through something that's inappropriate behaviors compared to somebody else, or something very shameful to them, and they're thinking, gosh, you know, maybe to them they smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day, but they don't want to, or they do it in hiding. And I really want to offer that space. So this is what today's show is all about. It's actually about all the things of being the observer, being detached. So as I kind of was thinking about this, I thought, okay, there are times when we do want to be witnessed. We want to be seen. We want to be validated. We want to know that our actions and thoughts have meaning and have made a difference in this world. And there's other times when we really think, you know, I don't want to have anybody judge me, know what I'm doing and stuff. I actually, this big thing with my mother growing up with that, she was always just looking at me, and I always felt that she was judging looking at me, as opposed to just, maybe she was just admiring me because I'm her daughter. We're all these things. So I really felt that this would be a fun show to – what I'm going to do is I'm going to start off by reading a story. In fact, it's a story that I wrote. And the reason why I'm going to read a story is because stories are medicine. They're so powerful. And the really neat thing is that the listener needs to do nothing else but to listen. They're powerful in a way that when you hear stories – there is symbolism to it, and you get to acknowledge what's going on. You get to absorb it, and you can interpret it. But there's a place of coming to that you don't actually have to do anything. You can just see how it fits into your life and the lessons that are in it as an observer, and allow that to give you something that you need. So as I read this chapter that I wrote, it is in the story, the soulful story, the book, sorry, the book of soulful stories of love and empowerment. I've read a chapter before from this book. I'm so honored to be in with all these other lovely people who've written their stories. But this story really is about how I learned to become an observer. And it was as a very young child. So I'm going to go in and just start reading this. And then we're going to take the rest of the show to help you guys figure out how to be the observer. And that is through being detached, and some really awesome affirmations to do this, which chakra is involved in this. So I'm going to really explore that. But allow me, please, to share this powerful story where you need to do nothing else, no action other than to listen. So it is titled The Blind Spot in the Bathroom Mirror. Oh, this was going to be bad. I already felt awful, embarrassed, kind of scared, actually. But I couldn't even imagine how Mom and Dad were going to react or what they would do to me. I couldn't imagine any worse punishment than how badly I already felt. I was a little girl. I had friends, a loving family. I did well in school. But something made me lie to my best friend. I lied to feel that I was better than the other kids. I lied so that she would like me more than them. Looking back now, I can't even imagine how ego snuck in so quietly and quickly, but it did, and I fell victim to it. What I thought was a harmless lie caused a domino effect, eventually leading to my best friend breaking her arm. I truly felt awful and was already deeply sorry, but I was also a kid who lied, and there would be a punishment. Mom often yelled at us girls. My sister and I were two regular siblings, playfully poking at one another and testing each other's boundaries. You know, that's what siblings do. Being separated for time outs, being sent to our rooms, and the occasional grounding. Okay, it wasn't that occasional, it was very often. But the grounding wasn't uncommon. But all disciplinary actions made sense to me, and probably secretly I appreciated Mom stepping in to save me from our fights escalating. Because that certainly happened. And if my sister's listening, she knows what I mean. So no matter what, though, I always felt loved. But back to my lie and the serious outcome. I remember feeling so awful that I wanted to be gone from the planet, just vanish. I was terrified to face all the people and mostly ashamed to face my best friend. The punishment was a shocker. It will sound very simple at first, but I'll tell you, it was the hardest and most life-changing punishment I ever went through, and it became the foundation of how I was able to love myself deeply for the rest of my life. And this also is going to go into how I learned to detach, and that we'll talk about that all soon. But before I tell you what I endured, what I learned, and what I overcame, I want to ask you, how do you spend time with yourself? How do you talk to yourself? How do you listen and hear what you think and want? What tone, what position do you take? I spoke of ego sneaking in at such an early age, and I'm still shocked as my adult woman self thinks about this. I'd like to think that I knew myself as a child, and that I trusted and loved and thought highly of myself. But when I lied to make myself look better than the other kids, there was obviously a judgment I made about who I was. I wonder when that started, and I wonder why I did. I wonder if we all do, and I wonder mostly how we all keep each other to get to know our true selves and treat that self with kindness, love, and respect. Now, I'm going to pause here just for a moment because just a couple days ago, I was reminded of we'll call it a thought or a belief that some people may hold, and it was that we are what we think others think of us. And really take that into thought right now. So at the time, clearly, I'm a child, and I had become what I thought my friend would have thought about me. I had no clue if she really thought that. This was me becoming fearful, and I go back to the line I said in the beginning, that what was bringing me joy and happiness was my friendship, my best friendship with this lovely little girl, and I was afraid of losing it. So I was so attached that I lied. And it could have eventually just ruining everything. So I don't want to ruin my story here. So back to it. So all about this wondering, you know, when the ego stepped in and do we all know this and how do we get to that self-love and kindness and respect? Well, my mom knew how. And this was my punishment. The best punishment my parents ever gave me was a lesson on how to see what was in the blind spot of my own bathroom mirror. A blind spot is defined as an area where the view is obstructed, or where something is in the way, or where something is preventing or hindering a full view, or deliberately making it difficult to see. So taking that, because I really do want everybody to know what I was talking about, the blind spot. I drive, so I'm like, okay, check your blind spot. So my mom first sat down with me on the edge of the bed, face to face, and looked me in the eye. Allow me to share that when you feel so ashamed of something you did, wow, was that uncomfortable. All I wanted to do was hide my face, feel loved and accepted, and erase everything. I'm laughing now, but the weirdest thing was that my mom was not yelling. I mean, that would have been way more comfortable, right? So that was very confusing to me even more. Mom went beyond asking me why I lied, because she knew not to stop at my confession that I wanted to look better in front of other kids. She made me go deeper and ask why I wanted to look better than the other kids. Smart mom. You know, right now she's already doing that detection thing. I said I was scared that if the other kids were better than me, then my best friend would leave me and not be my friend. Well, mom explored this further and asked me, if that did happen, did I not think I would make other friends? Like, that's a really deep question to ask a little child. Of course. As a little girl, I replied, I didn't want other friends. I wanted her as my best friend. And my mom explored further and deeper and didn't leave either side of the coin unchecked. Now, I know we're going to be wrapping and going to commercial, so I want to stop right there. We'll continue with this as we go on, because you can't even imagine what my mom had me do. She's already stepping into very, you know, deep and unfamiliar ground. So when we come back, you're going to find out what happened.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Well, thank you, everybody, for joining me here today on Light and Living edition, I'm going to call it, of detachment. And I had to laugh because as the commercials were on, I had this really funny memory of being a child and having, I used to bet with myself of how many commercials there would be between a show. And because, you know, you're watching a show and you're really into it and you're like, ah, not a commercial. And I used to say to myself, well, you know, see, being right was really important to me because being right meant I was going to be happy. And so I remember thinking, okay, there's probably 5 commercials, but I'm going to say there's 7 because that way, if there are 7 commercials, then I'm still going to be right and I can be happy. And if there's only 5, then yay, we're back to my show early. So I just have that funny memory right now that was so nice. So as we're getting into back to the story. The reason why I am so happy to be reading this story is that we have a foundation we can work from when we're talking about becoming detached, not being attached to the outcome and to the pain and to the control. So as we left off, I had done this terrible thing. I lied, felt awful, and was thinking I'm going to get the regular punishment. But as we go on here, Mom was sitting down with me, looking me right in the eye and really asking me some heavy questions. So as she said, the last question was, just thinking this, she goes, let's explore this, Lisa. If really, truly your friend said, nope, not going to be friends with you anymore, do you not think that you would make other friends? So I said, of course. As a little girl, I replied, I didn't want other friends. I wanted her as my best friend. See, I'm attached. My mom explored further and deeper and didn't leave either side of the coin unchecked. She questioned me from how I felt about the world, what I thought about people felt, and how I felt about myself, giving me many scenarios to look at, think about, and reply to. And not looking at all things, that's really where that observer is coming in. Once this line of questioning was done, she told me to stand up. I was hoping this was a big hug and all is well part. It was not. She told me to follow her. We left my room and crossed the hall to the bathroom, where there was a full-length mirror on the door. She said I was to sit or stand in front of the mirror and have a conversation with myself. Like, oh my gosh. She wanted me to be looking into my own eyes and at all my body parts. I was to understand, forgive, encourage, and love myself all while looking in the mirror. There were tears streaming down my mom's cheeks as she directed me to do this. She said that it hurt her to know that her little girl that she loved with all of her heart didn't love herself as much. Well, the pain I saw, the compassion I felt for my mom as she exposed her wounds, somehow taught me right then and there what it felt like to be hurtful to oneself. She was, in a way, a mirror, and in the reflection, I saw my value and my worth. If I wasn't valuable and if I wasn't worthy, this woman, my mother, would not have had so much pain. So I stood there in front of that mirror, shifting and fidgeting for a bit. Oh my gosh, I can still remember this. Honestly, I was for sure thinking that Mom was around the corner spying on me to make sure I was following through. But something happened. I sat down. I sat still. I looked in the mirror and I looked through myself to what I now call the blind spot in my bathroom mirror. I started talking to the parts of me that had been hurt, sad, judgmental, angry, and even scared. I offered them loving words as I would to a best friend. And it felt nice. I didn't feel lonely at all. I almost started feeling guilty for how great I felt and full of joy after doing something so awful. It was in that moment that I felt what forgiveness really was. My mom taught me how to know myself, how to forgive myself, how to love myself in my perfect imperfection. When I came to my mom after and asked if I could come out for dinner, she said yes. But before that, there was one last part of the punishment lesson. Oh, gosh. That was to phone my best friend and apologize to both her and her parents. Mom saw my face drop with terror. She said, Lisa, there's no need for fear. Courage comes to you in difficult times when your strength is built on self-love and self-acceptance. You can now do anything. And I truly am not polishing those words. I remember these words so clearly and so, like, they're just right into they're not even in my memory or my mind, they're in my heart. And I remember this whole thing shifting and changing because, you know what the scariest part of this was? Back then, there were no cell phones. There was no privacy. You had a landline in the middle of the house where everybody is like standing on a public podium. And now you're like, this is the most naked you could ever feel. And for some reason, when she said that, and I'll repeat that, she took away a lot of fear. Lisa, there's no need for fear. Courage comes to you in difficult times when your strength is built on self-love and self-acceptance. You can now do anything. And see, this isn't about confidence. This isn't about self-image. This is like deeply rooted. So many of us stand in front of our bathroom mirrors, and the blind spot can block different things for different people. For some, it's a complete avoidance as they ignore and numb all of their pain and almost cower away from the beauty they deny. Others' blind spots are actually the love, the value, and the worth that they deliberately block and deny themselves as they follow the remaining part of the mirror. As they allow the remaining part of the mirror to lie to them and only show disrespect and judgment. Most often, the bathroom mirror hears, "You again, you're getting old. You are old, you're ugly, you better fix that. Where did that come from?" And the saddest, "God, I look terrible, I feel terrible." But it's not just the bathroom mirror that hears that. It's you, it's your spirit, it's your soul, it's your heart, and your brain that hears this as well. You feel this and you start to become this. I was one lucky kid to have my mom make me check my blind spot. My ego still creeps in, and when I hear and I know it's getting loud, I actually get myself in front of a mirror fast and I talk to myself. I have an honest conversation and explore what I'm feeling, and then I follow that same exercise my mom had me do. And this is where now I'm getting it. This is what that mindfulness of detachment is. It's to understand. It's to forgive and encourage and love. When I'm sitting with somebody brand new, whether it's just a friend or a new person you just meet or it's a client, as I said, sitting and listening to them and offering that space, like you are the mirror. You're that mirror when anybody talks to you. And being detached actually allows them freedom. It allows them a place to escape their pain and their attachment and their suffering and also their control. So for me as that little girl, my blind spot was fear that I wasn't good enough. And I was, and I am, and fear that I'd be rejected or abandoned. And it's so funny because I really, if I can look back now and I didn't, that's not, I would have said, that's not one of my issues, you know, but clearly I did with friends. I had, I mean, I always knew my parents were there for me. Well, there have been phases in my life now when I haven't checked my blind spot and I only saw what ego was reflecting back. And those are the times that I wasn't standing in my true power and felt life was not at my fullest potential. Now I make it a part of my lifestyle to check my blind spot and nourish the parts of me that need my acknowledgement. They need my acceptance and they need my love. I have conversations with myself while looking into the mirror, into my eyes, and allow no shame to block or hide my light. And you know, I love that word light. Look into a mirror, check your blind spot, and simply start by saying, "I love you. I accept you deeply and completely." And you'll recognize that from my Ho'oponopono prayer. I have a beautiful quote. Here it is. "Let the waters settle and you will see the moon and the stars mirrored in your own being." I think that's the most through me, and I just love that that line exists completely. Let the water settle. That's it. Let it settle. Don't try to control it and make it swirl around or doing this and that, and you will see the moon and the stars mirrored in your own being. Now, there's a powerful story that we listen to. We don't have to do anything, but I hope there's a lot of symbolism in there, and I hope you really can connect and relate to that. Because I want to use that as a foundation as we continue to find out, okay, well, attachment, like, why do we attach? What is it that we're doing? What's the difference? Why are we being observers and witnesses? Well, the fun thing is you are the observing self. And your purpose here is to observe the world consciously and learn the valuable lessons about yourself, the world, and others from it. So there are times when we're very attached, and I can even say when I do not do my daily practice. If I say I just get all crazy pants in my life and I decide, no time to meditate, no time to breathe deeply, no time to be mindful. You know what? I know this for a fact. I can admit this to the whole world. I suddenly become so attached to ego that when I am listening, judgments will creep in and control will set in. I want to control this and I want to organize this and I want it to, you know, not that I do, but I want to tell people how to live their life. Like, no, you have to do this and you can't do that. And no, that's not the way you do it. And it's something for me to check in, and maybe you can even recognize it in yourself. When are the times in your life where you're dissatisfied or even angry because somebody else isn't doing something that you think they should be doing? That's a sure sign right there. Are attached. You are not living a detached life. A lot of things that cause us pain, and this can be even to not just attached to what others are doing, but what about even to a past, your past? You're so attached to something that happened so long ago or even yesterday, but you can't control and you can't make it go away, and there's something so like holding you to it. That again is going to cause so much pain and suffering, and it's because we're just so attached to it. And then we go into that future thinking. That's worry, that's anxiety. We're thinking, oh my goodness, what if this happens? What if that happens? I'm attached to the outcome. What if I don't graduate? What if I don't get the job? What if I can't pay that bill? What if I get cancer? What if my friend dies? What if my parents? There's so many of these, oh, future. I think now that I just said all those things, I think there's so many future things. I mean, the pain literally goes into our bodies and gets stuck into little places, and it can erupt in so many ways, whether it's an emotion or whether it's a disease or whether it's a pain or suffering. And so in talking about how do we detach, how do we do this, what is it? I'm going to come back after the commercial, and we're going to be talking about the third eye chakra, and we're going to talk about some affirmations that can help, and how to open this, and how to reduce, and how to become the observing self and allow without judgment.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations, to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
So I'm a cat, and I just moved in with this new human. And she's got this little toy she's always playing with all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Alrighty, well, diving right back in here to the law of detachment and all the stuff that's really, when I think about this, when I truly have sat in the stillness and really set myself up, a great foundation for the day, actually. And when you can say, you know what? I'm going to practice being this mindfully detached person, but still I have, there's no judgment, but I still definitely am. There's a purpose to this. There's a purpose why I'm doing this, intention. I'm going to listen to somebody with purpose and intention, just no judgment and attachment. And I want to share just a wonderful thing by Deepak Chopra here. The law of detachment, which is about letting go of our need to control outcome, our attachment to our desires, and perhaps most difficult, our need to control other people. In the Vedic tradition of other spiritual teachings, the path to freedom and happiness lies in letting go of attachment. This doesn't mean disengaging from life, denying your passions, or living the life of renunciation. There you go. The real nature of detachment is a loving, wise participation in life while maintaining the awareness of an inner core of peace and presence that is our true identity. This is the essence of the spiritual law of detachment. I love, love, love that he is just reminding us that this is not about disengaging, but yet of participation. To me, that is a very important thing that a lot of us might get scared of, thinking, gosh, what do you mean? I can't love my fancy car, my furniture, or this or that, or my cats even, or something. So I have a little memory of when I was, I love antique furniture, and I have antique furniture, and I guess that's a bit of an attachment, because it's been around a long time. So I remember this one time I was moving. I spent a couple years there where I just moved every 6 months. It was rather annoying. I learned how to really detach from stuff because I just got tired of lugging it around. And see, there's a perfect example, actually. I literally got tired of lugging things around because it was causing me pain. I was like, oh, I got to get other people to help, or it's going to consume my time, or it's going to cost money for the movers. But I recall I have this one antique lamp that I just adore, and I'm allowed to adore it and love it. Doesn't mean I'm attached, but at this particular time, for some reason, I was so attached to it that I struggled. It was somebody else was going to move it. It was going to go into an elevator, and then up the elevator, and then out of the elevator. Like, there's a lot of movement going on here. It's a little bit, ooh, I don't know about this. And I think I was so attached and worried that it would get damaged of sort. I think I've manifested this, but I was so attached that everything about it mattered to me. The lampshade mattered, the light bulbs mattered, everything about it mattered, the cord, which was so old. Anyways, I said, no, I'm going to be okay with this. But I think I was just lying. I allowed someone else to take this lamp into the elevator, where upon entering the elevator, one of the light bulbs went pop. Now, it's just a light bulb. But it was the lamp that I loved, the light bulb. And so I was like, whoopsie, okay, no, this is like testing my little, my attachment detachment here. And then, like this, this is so funny, this even all happened in the 7 floors that it went up. As they left the elevator, it got caught or something on the lampshade, got torn on the door, which is so weird that this could even happen. And then, so here the thing is that I was so attached and trying to control and protect that I was so worried about. I think I actually set the vibration to actually harm this poor little lamp. And so now, you know, the light bulb's broken, the shade is torn, and I just had to take a moment, and I wanted to be really upset at first. And I remember this very specifically. I thought, it is just a lamp. And yes, it's damaged, or I have to get the new bulb, but I'm okay. This is okay. And I understand that. And I didn't want them to feel bad. I felt bad if they felt bad. So here we go about the others and their feelings. So I want to share with you why attachment hurts. Attachment is based on fear and insecurity. When you forget your true self, which is pure consciousness, pure potentiality, you begin to believe that you need something outside of yourself to make you happy. It's easy to think, I'll feel good when I have more money in the bank. I know I'll feel better when I lose 15 pounds, or when I find my soulmate, or pay off my bills. You can put any desire that you want in there. As you've no doubt discovered, getting what you want doesn't bring security. At a deep level, you know that whatever is bringing you happiness can be lost and therefore has the potential to bring you pain. So the only way out of this dilemma is detaching. You set your intentions and take whatever action is needed and then relinquish your attachments to the outcome. So I'm going to share some of the affirmations that we can use to practice this detachment. And then I also have tracked down what a beautiful writer, I'm just going to check her name here, she has shared. When I get there, I'll share them for you. But here are a couple affirmations that I want to share with you. I consciously commit to flexibility and detachment. Now, that could be a big jump. You're like, whoa. I'm not really flexible and I'm not doing that. So by saying the words and just breathing that in and out, allowing to find out if when you say that statement, if you do not agree with it, or if it causes you any discomfort or like, nope, not in alignment with that, find out why. So if you say, I consciously commit to flexibility and detachment, you're like, nope, not being flexible. Okay, why would you not want to be flexible? Do you feel like somebody else is winning? You feel like you're giving in? Are you standing and protecting and guarding something? So just want you to not just say these things, but if something comes up for you, if there's a resistance, let's explore that, okay? Here's another one. I allow myself and those around me the freedom to be themselves without imposing rigid ideas of right and wrong. So that kind of explores on the flexibility thing. Here's a funny story. My mother was such a lovely, amazing, incredible woman, and she was just neurotic in my mind if my judgment would come out. And I got into this really big fight with her one time because, oh, this is so funny. I can't believe I'm sharing this. She loved sounds, and I loved her for this. She loved the sounds of bells and wind chimes and birds chirping. Of course, that's beautiful. But to me, she took this to extreme levels. And one time, she just took it over the top for me, and she sewed little tiny bells in the bottom of her skirt. A skirt she was just so in love with. She does a beautiful skirt. And so she sewed these little bells in the bottom. And I said, Mom, I'm not going out with you if you're wearing that. You're jingling when you walk. And she says, well, I'm walking into life with bells on. And I thought, oh, but nobody else wants to. Mom, you're going to embarrass me. And so I had this incredibly difficult time with living with such a beautifully eccentric woman. But, you know, when I think back now, she was one of my greatest teachers because she did present a lot of opportunity to really dig inside my strength and say, no, I will walk confidently beside my mom, bells and all, and just love her and just do that. It took some time, let me tell you, to get there. But these statements, I can assure you, will help you. So let's try that one again. I allow myself and those around me the freedom to be themselves without imposing rigid ideas of right and wrong, whether you're going to wear bells in your skirt or not. I live my life in a state of engaged detachment. I realize the need to judge or criticize. Oh, see, there's that one right there. I'm going to try that one again. There they go. That's why. See, knew it wasn't right. I release the need to judge or criticize. I express myself honestly while releasing any need to impose my beliefs on other people. Whenever I notice that I am becoming emotionally attached to a point of view, I take a deep breath and come back to a more centered place. Now that one I like. I like that one because you know what that is? We do get attached to points of view, don't we? Whether they're somebody else's or ours. I mean, that's a big place. And I want to talk about being centered right now. So what does that mean when we're centered? What that means is we become centered in our observing self so that we can experience peace and stability. And you'll know you're not at peace and stability when you're freaking out and you're like trying to resist and stop people from doing what they're doing or force your point of view, like you're saying, or that you're super attached or you just don't like something. So I embrace detachment by choosing to be free from the good and bad opinions of others. Now that one goes to my story. I really believed that my friend was going to judge me. And I've never shared this, but I'm going to share that. That lie that I told was I had been invited to my best friend's birthday party. And I suddenly was embarrassed about the gift that I was giving her, which was a very adorable little stuffed animal. But I just felt that maybe all the other kids' gifts, the toys, were more expensive and they're better. And she seemed to be happier. And I was judging her reaction and her opinion, that I felt. So I really like this one. I embrace detachment by choosing to be free from the good and bad opinions of others. Now, I was actually just, I had a post come in and I was reminded of the four agreements. And I believe that one of them is I take nothing personally, good or bad. And that's a tough one because, you know, it's easy to say, oh, what hurt, they're just judging me poorly. And, you know, I'm not going to believe that. But it's also very difficult because in that same breath, as he teaches us in the four agreements, that we are not to really take into, you know, attach to the compliments of others either. I mean, they certainly feel good and they're very validating and uplifting. But then again, that is feeding the ego. And I love ego. I'm so glad that we have it. Thank goodness. But it's that when we take it to another degree, when it's just too far, it's just too far. So I want to continue with these because I really want one of these affirmations to really connect with some of you out there. And I invite you, let me do this right now. I'd like to invite you to pop onto my Facebook. If you're on Facebook, jump on Facebook page, look up Lisa Berry, B-E-R-R-Y, like a strawberry. Of course, that's why I'm a nutritionist. It's all predetermined. And let me know which affirmation you're connecting with, or what are you attached to, or what have you detached from that you want to share with us that was maybe tricky or difficult, and how you did that. So I'm going to continue here. So if you don't want to post on Facebook, then send me an email, lisa@lightonliving.com. I'd love to hear from you. So I'm going to continue these. So I will put the law of detachment into effect by making a commitment to take the following steps. Today, I will commit myself to detachment. Commitment's big, so we like commitment. I will allow myself and those around me the freedom to be as they are. I will not rigidly impose my idea of how things should be. Ooh, that's a good one. I will not force solutions on problems, thereby creating new problems. I will participate in everything with detached involvement. Oh, that's a neat one, eh? I will participate in everything with detached involvement. See, we are still participating in life, but we have not attached to that. So just as we lead into commercial, I got probably time for another one here. Today, I will factor in uncertainty as an essential ingredient of my experience. So let's take that. Today, I will factor in uncertainty as an essential ingredient of my experience. So when we come back, we're going to have a few more steps.
The best of the holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Humanity Healing International is a small nonprofit with a big dream. Since 2007, HHI has been working tirelessly to bring help to communities with little or no hope. Our projects are not broad mandates, nor are they overnight solutions, but they bring the reassurance that no one is alone and that someone cares. To learn more, please visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Welcome back to The Cat Show. Up next, we have Nico. Nico is a member of the Shelter Pet Group.
That's right. A group known especially for their sunspot sleeping, ball chasing, leg rubbing, and of course, companionship. Just look how she struts.
It's like she owns the place.
And see how she curls up and cuddles her person.
The pitch on her purring is simply perfect.
Nice one.
Fantastic cat. But really the best way to know an amazing shelter pet like Nico is to meet one.
Visit theshelterpetproject.org today. Adopt.
Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Well, as we go into our final quarter here about self-detachment and really, you know what's so funny? I was so excited to have this conversation and to have this show today because I think this is one of my, I'm going to say this. This has been the best thing that could have ever happened to me in my life, that I could experience what that feels like to let go. Letting go, like when you even hear that at first, like, oh, that sounds like awful. And even the word, like my whole nutrition field was in weight loss. That's how I started 20 years ago now. And just that word weight loss, like loss. Oh, I mean, it's like the scariest feeling that like nobody wants to feel loss of anything. And even though it's attached to something that people want, weight loss, it's still, I feel like it has this negative, like this low vibration to it right from the get-go. So in life to go, wow, I can actually, you know, I'll tell you, having pets, having animals are one of the biggest helps. For me anyway, that you can, you cannot control. I mean, maybe you can train your dog and you can have that great relationship, but I'll say you have cats, very tricky. You are not controlling those little precious things. They have their own little agenda. And when you learn to just embrace who they are, what they're doing, that's probably one of the biggest teachers or lessons that I could have learned with them. They just watch them. You just observe them and see what they do. And it's almost like if you can't meditate, if you're a person who can't sit to meditate, then just go find a cat and watch them. That's like a meditation in itself. And so as we go back into, I just want to finish off with some really, I just love these, I love affirmations because I truly know and believe that there is this vibration, this feeling to words. So when you say them, you're going to have a reaction. You're going to either agree with it or you're going to disagree with it. And this is the most important thing is when you disagree with something, find out where in your body does that just not go? Oh, you think, oh, there's something that's not right there. And just follow that pathway, just like when my mom did. And she's like, okay, yeah, I get it. You aren't happy with yourself. But why? What would make you think that? And what would happen if that really did? And where did your fear coming from? So in just offering a few of these things, I just love that with these specific affirmations, they're really bringing out stuff that just, life just happens. You don't know everything that's going to happen. Things are going to be a surprise. You know what? Last week, my car starter went, and that was a surprise. You're like, oh, you know, you fully expect it to get in the car and have it start. Well, guess what? It didn't. And then you go, okay, well, there's got to be a reason. And I believe actually that reason was I had got to an event just a little bit later than expected, and woohoo, we ended up meeting somebody on the road, the street, that had we not been there at the time, we would never have met. So always really know that there, you can always make the best of something. You truly can. So in moving with this, I want to say we left off with today I will factor in uncertainty as an essential ingredient of my experience. So moving forward with that, in my willingness to accept uncertainty, solutions will spontaneously emerge out of the problem, out of the confusion, order, and chaos. Those are just fun, make you feel good. The more uncertain things seem to be, the more secure I will feel because uncertainty is my path to freedom. Oh, I love that. Let me read it again. The more uncertain things seem to be, the more secure I will feel because uncertainty is my path to freedom. Through the wisdom of uncertainty, I will find my security. I will step into the field of all possibilities and anticipate the excitement that can occur when I remain open to an infinity of choices. Okay, I'm putting a 5-star on that one because that one has my two favorite words, possibilities and choices. Okay, we're going to hover on this one for a minute because, oh, that just makes my heart just open right up and totally step into that detachment field because possibilities. There are possibilities, numerous layers upon layers of possibilities. And guess what? You guys get to choose. Like, that's your power. You actually get to choose it. And I hope that if you're somebody out there right now thinking, oh, I don't have the power to choose, I want you to explore why you think you don't. What are you attached to that makes you think you don't have choice? And what are the possibilities to exit that thought and that feeling? This is, if you're feeling that, then you know that you're a person you really, really want to get into some detachment processes there. And one more, when I step into the field of all possibilities, I will experience all the fun, adventure, magic, and mystery of life. That was a fun one to end on for those affirmations. Just by saying those, there's a shift. There's a definite shift. I also tracked down, I'm so excited to share. This is written by Sally Kempton, and she actually has a few steps, and 5 of them, in detachment. So the practice of detachment, and I can squeeze this in. I may not do it all, but I really want to give you guys a little bit of a process to follow if you're needing some help. So as Sally writes here, and that's Sally Kempton with a K, and step 1 is acknowledgement. one's always fun because we always talk about awareness and acknowledgement. Yeah, we can acknowledge something. We're aware we're there, but it's a little deeper than that. So she writes, when we're dealing with a major loss or strong attachment, we always need to begin by acknowledging and working with our feelings. These feelings are the stickiest aspects of attachment. The excited desire we feel when we want something and the anxiety we feel about losing it and the sense of hopelessness that can arise when we fail to achieve it. So she kind of just wrapped really like all of that up, a desire, a loss, or an achievement. Acknowledgement doesn't just mean recognizing that you want something badly or that you're feeling lost. When you want something, feel how you want it. Find the wanting feeling in your body. And when you're feeling cocky about a victory, be the part of yourself that wants to beat your chest, say me, 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 rather than pushing away the anxiety and fear of losing what you care about. Let it come up and breathe into it. And when you're experiencing the hopelessness of actual loss, allow it in and let yourself cry. I might not be able to go through them all, but here, well, I will go through them all, but not in so much detail here. So stage two, we've got the acknowledgement. Now we have self-inquiry. Once you've felt your feelings, you'll need to process them through self-inquiry. To do this, start by probing the feeling space that the desire or grief or hopelessness brings up in your consciousness, perhaps naming it to yourself, and gradually breathing out the content, the storyline. I think that's really fun because when I go to the bathroom mirror to check my blind spot, and I'll sit in something and go, gosh, I'll be sitting and just really frustrated about something. I just march my little self upstairs or wherever the mirror is, and I do. I really have to look at that, and then I do this self-exploratory process, like this conversation, just like this. And the best part to do is remind yourself that you do have resources. That's the possibilities, right? That's the choice. Recall helpful teachings. Pray for help and guidance, or simply say, may I be healed? May I have support? May I not be alone? And you want to do that with your breathing. So I'm going to jump over because I think we got the self to think we have. Stage three, processing. In third stage of detachment, you begin to become aware of what has been useful in the journey that you've just taken, in the task or relationship or life stage that you're working with, regardless of how it all turned out. So that's a good thing. Allow that process. This is huge. Processing. I often will take in a lot of information, and then I know I'm full. And then I'll say, I got to process. Let me process. Let me just, you know, allow yourself that time. This is huge. If there's an emotion going on with you, I do. I really just let people know, I just need to do this. So just allow me to have this space. So I'm jumping through. I want to go to stage four, creative action. The scientist will have reached the fourth stage of detachment when he's able to start something new with real enthusiasm for the doing of it rather than out of the need to prove something. Oh my gosh, I just love this. I love, love, love this. Loss or desire can paralyze us so that we find ourselves without the will to act or else acting in meaningless, ineffective ways. This is so huge. One of the reasons we take time to process is that when we can act, when we're not paralyzed or by fear or driven by the frantic need to do something, anything, to convince ourselves we have some degree of control. Now, this is huge with careers. Sometimes we can get so frustrated, we're so paralyzed in our fear that we can't create something new. We can't create this new opportunity or possibility or see it because now we're just doing it to make the quick buck, to prove to somebody else that we are of value. We have a huge loss in relationship so that we quickly jump into another one to prove that we are worthy of another person loving us. This is so huge that we only want to do these new next things when we are in creative flow because we have that enthusiasm. And I love that she wrote that. And stage five is freedom. You've reached this stage when thinking about your loss or the thing you desire doesn't interfere with your normal feelings of well-being. Desire, fear, and hopelessness are deeply embedded in our psyche, and we feel their pull whenever any remnant of attachment exists. We know that we've begun to achieve real detachment in a situation when we can contemplate what's occurring without immediately getting blindsided by these feelings. I can't believe that word is there. See? Blindsided. Blind spot in the bathroom mirror. So basically, the fifth stage is about a state of true liberation, which is described as the feeling of putting down a heavy burden. it's no small thing. And every time we free ourselves from one of those sticky feelings, we unlock another link in what the yogic text called the chain of bondage. So in my final minute, wrapping up here with all of you, thank you so much for letting me share this with you. I hope that you can recognize in your life right now where maybe you haven't checked your blind spot for a little while. You've been driving along and just things are coming at you, and you really need to sit with yourself and offer yourself that time to go through the process of detaching. So with this new, hopefully new affirmations, with the wording, with some of these systems that I'm just calling steps. And if you need any help at all, please, again, visit me. You can private message me on Facebook. It's Lisa Berry, B-E-R-R-Y. I would absolutely love to help you, to guide you, to hear from you. And I just really appreciate you all sharing this time with me, because everybody just participating, just listening, has helped me even become, you know, more detached from things so that I can just participate in life with my full exuberance that I truly have for living the highest and most loving self. So everybody, thank you again so much. I look forward to the next Monday, and we'll see you guys then soon, okay? I'll talk to you then. Bye.